Hey there, Hillary.
Hey, Jenny. What's going on?
Oh, you know, just working on this re-entry thing. It's really hard to come back from shows.
It really is. Like, it's decompression. And I was telling my fellow garden tarts earlier today that I don't usually feel this, like, missing, you know? Like, I don't have this longing feeling usually until a whole tour is over. And this
usually there's another show just on the horizon.
Right.
And our next show is kind of like, we can't see it. It's on the other side of the planet.
Right. It's
not until February. It's a whole different year.
Right.
We have to get through Halloween and Thanksgiving and Hanukkah and Christmas and New Year's and MLK Day and Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
We'll see each other on Valentine's Day.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we did a few years ago. Like, last year, I think we did.
Yeah. It'll just be nice.
Yeah, it'll be nice.
So, it's a lot of holidays to get through before.
Yeah. A lot of distraction. But it really is hard coming home from that high you have.
And I just love that life.
I do,
too.
It
is exhausting. And, I mean, I would miss my family eventually. Let's be honest.
It's responsibility.
It's different.
It's responsibility that you.
Right. Like, we're truly doing something that we love because we love it.
Right.
Not because we're responsible to it.
Right.
That's the difference. You're right.
Yeah. This is harder than I expected. Like, you know, we're working on shows for February, and I didn't think that. I mean, even when they announced the dates, I'm like, I'm not doing that.
But I was we just dragged you along by the ankle.
Like. Yeah, you did. I was still.
You didn't really
Vegas.
Fight it, but.
No, I didn't fight it. Yeah.
But we definitely dragged you along. You're like, I just don't know. We're like, but we have tickets and a hotel room and. Now we have flights. It's just happening.
And, like, so I have cash. I got a lot of cash before I went out there. I don't use cash.
Right.
Ever at home. So I feel like I think I'm going to just, like, put it in my suitcase in an envelope that says cash. And then I have it for February because I'm not going to need it between now and then.
Right. Yeah. And then when you go to pack, you'll see, oh.
Yeah.
Cash.
I did that with our Dublin trip, which was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
This week.
Yeah.
I started packing like many months early just by putting, you know, one thing at a time in my suitcase that I knew I wasn't going to need again.
Right.
And I still had, you know, panic the day of that.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah,
that I now you have a big pile of things and you're not actually sure what you have.
No.
Or what you actually need.
Right.
Hey, welcome to Kissing Lips and Breaking Hearts with the Garden Tarts.
That was a long delay. We're reporting on Sunday, October 29th, 2023. And if you're listening, it's on or after November 1st, 2023. This is season 5, episode 39.
We had a lot of fun with our last ep. If y'all haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it. We did a Dear Diary situation where we just kind of kept popping in, making voice memos and talking to people when we were in Vegas. We're going to do a better job of that next time.
Yeah.
We're going to do such a good job. I'm going to have to edit stuff out.
Right.
This time we needed everything possible.
We're going to have too much material.
Right. Right.
But we really do need to like set alarms to make us say what's going on.
Right. Like every 2 hours, just have the alarm go off.
Right.
Or
at
something.
At least like on one of, you know, for one of us.
Right. But yeah, so we talked about being in Vegas and just that the shows happen in Zoo Station and stuff, but we didn't actually talk about it.
No.
And you and I haven't really decompressed about it. Like,
no. I mean, I think we may have talked a little bit about the first show, but not really the second show. I mean, aside from a little bit of conversation before we went to bed.
We were so tired.
Yeah.
It was stupid tired.
And, you know, for our loyal listeners, if you know, I've been pretty sick in the past few years, and I didn't think I was going to be able to do this trip. And I mean, there were so many times that I had my finger on the cancel button to cancel my reservation. Yeah. And I just did it. I just made myself do it. And, you know, I did GA. I did everything great. And I got home and I feel kind of crappy again. But
yeah,
it's a different life. I don't have the adrenaline. And
right. And yeah. I mean, I'm pretty tired, too.
Yeah.
So you would be tired anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, you did more in those 3 days than you've done in years.
Yeah. Many years. Yeah.
Well, I mean, kind of since COVID happened.
Yeah.
Right. So like, it's just a testament to how resilient you are to your body and your mind, and it's ready to go.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of you for taking that chance and trusting us.
Yeah.
To help you. But you did it.
The hardest part of the trip was getting from gate to gate in the airport.
Yeah.
I mean, not just because I missed my flight on the way home, but on the way there too, that just seemed like torturous. Like,
right.
Going gate to gate when I didn't have that much energy. And
we also once flew I got through to Charlotte, Memphis, which is a small city in itself.
It is. It's a horrible airport. But yeah, the trip was just perfect. And I'd go again tomorrow if I could. Well, there's not a show tomorrow. I'd go again on Wednesday if I could.
When we're heading back out in February, we have tickets for the 15th and the 18th. So if anyone listening has any GAs for the 17th, we'll gladly figure out how to take those off your hands.
Yeah.
Any number between 1 and 3.
Right.
We need to just get one at a time. So yeah. I guess we should talk a little bit about our experiences with the shows.
We should. I feel like we should have interviewed each other about this.
Probably.
Well, before we even start talking about the shows, let's talk about our listeners and how many of them we
have.
And it's really overwhelming to see people who, we had shirts that said the Garden Tarts on it. And we had people recognize us from our shirts.
Right.
And it was not expected. I didn't expect that.
I did, because when Amanda and I were in New York.
Right.
But we were also like in the GA line. Like, or we were like waiting all day. We weren't like walking through a casino.
Right.
And having someone chase us down.
No.
Which, Maria from Mexico, was so glad you did that to meet you.
It's awesome.
And she posted the cutest picture of us on Twitter. I was like, oh, I'm like, who's chasing me? Oh my goodness. She wasn't chasing. She was catching up, I should say.
Yeah, we had, it was just a good feeling. Thank you all for listening, and thanks for finding us.
Yeah.
So we had Jenny made us t-shirts. Jenny also made bracelets a la Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
It surprised me, actually, the people who didn't get the nod to Taylor Swift. Like, a few people that were like, what is this?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I offered one to, they're like, okay.
I thought, did Ross do that, though?
He was like, for me? Like, he's like, do you have one? I was like, he's like, what is it? I'm like, it's a friendship bracelet. Yeah. And then he was like, do you have one too? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay.
That's funny.
And then later he was like, thank you so much. You're very welcome.
It cost a penny.
Well, it cost a little more.
More than that.
Because I bought charms.
Yeah.
Little Garden Tart charms.
They're so cute.
I'm keeping an eye on the site to, I signed up for their newsletter, so hopefully there'll be like a Black Friday sale or something.
Yeah.
And I'll get a bunch more before February, because we're going to have so many bracelets.
We're going to have them up our arms.
And so many shirts. We're going to have a shirt for every day and every occasion.
I mean, that sucks for you, because
you're kind of excited about it.
But I mean, how great is that not to have to pack that much?
I might, if I get them done in time, I might mail you yours so you have to pack them.
Right.
Because Frontier has a 40-pound limit.
Okay.
On luggage. So we'll see.
I can't imagine that I would, like, I'm going to bring a bigger suitcase just because the one that I have that I took on our trip, on this trip, was the, like, second smallest, and the smallest wouldn't, I mean, right. I can use that for a weekend, like Friday and Saturday night. That's it.
Right. Well, we're checking bags this time. So
I probably should get myself a new suitcase, but I should
see what I have.
I shouldn't do that. I should use what I have, and then
all my good ones are like, my favorite one is like a carry-on, like a rolling carry-on. No, I might have and then I have one that's huge that sometimes my whole family will fit in.
Yeah.
Clothes, not people. But I do think I have one smaller, but I wonder what kind of shape it's in. But we were so, and it was really fun to like just start talking with fans and then give them a bracelet and they'd be like, what's this? I'm like, oh, we have this podcast. And they're like, oh, tell me more. Like,
yeah,
that was fun too.
That was fun. How many business cards do you think you gave out? I gave out a lot.
Not many.
Yeah.
Barely any. Like maybe 5.
Huh.
I was too busy doing bracelets.
I gave a guy on my plane one. And then I think maybe like, you know what? Maybe it was 6, but it felt like a lot. Like I went through the ones that were already in my wallet.
Yeah. I started giving some out. The first time we went into Zoo Station, that interactive exhibit, and people looked at me like I was a fucking lunatic.
Yeah.
Like, they looked at me like, why would I want this?
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know, because you're here?
Right. You are here. You obviously
you're
are
in the YouTube
level
exhibit?
Of YouTube fan.
Right.
And I think that we touch on all levels of fandom.
Yeah.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah. Me too. Should we talk about Zoo Station first?
Yeah, we should. So Zoo Station was exactly what it says. It was an interactive experience.
Right.
It was fun. I mean, like grown up, you know, like, and kid fun. We know that. So, they had a Trabant. They had a little stage, photo booth. The bar,
there were 2 specialty drinks. Mysterious Ways, that was tequila based and fruity and wonderful. Gardner and Amanda had that. I had the Octa Maybe Old Fashioned, which was the most amazing thing I've ever had. It was Jameson whiskey, but the flavor palette was like Jameson whiskey, a cold brew, bitters, and a stout syrup.
Oh, wow.
So you could taste the whiskey and the coffee and the stout.
Yeah.
And then the other stuff that goes into an old fashioned. There was a cherry and, you know, whatnot. But holy shit. Our friend Shawnee was like, we have to figure this out. Like, how do we get this stout syrup and how do we make this cold brew bitters? Because it's amazing.
They had a big store and then several little stores, at least one little store.
Yeah.
In there. And with YouTube merch. And that was cool. It was just cool and overwhelming to see it all. I'm hoping that in February they have my sweatshirt because it's not online and it's not in stock.
Right. The Octum Baby sweatshirt.
With the stars on the sleeves.
Oh, that was so good.
If not, I'm going to get the butterfly one.
That's the one I have.
Yeah.
Well, now they got those fly shades. I feel like I'm just one drink away from buying those. Honestly.
Wait, do they have them online?
It says Zoo Station only.
Okay.
I think you can get them while you want the 20% off.
Yeah. Well, I don't actually want them. No, I do really want them. I just don't want to spend that much money. I don't think I will.
Right. They are almost the same price. I think the website's The Fly Shades, the company. And they're like $122 on their site. And then they're $125 branded with U2.
Yeah.
So, and it's supposed to be the same brand that Bono has. So, I didn't realize that he wears a blue version during the encore. I saw the brand kind of promote that, and then I saw pictures of him and they're blue.
Huh.
They're not black. At least this one night I saw photos.
Yeah.
She like got my fly shades and I'm putting on my face right now. I'm feeling warm because I'm drinking Fireball.
I'm warm because it's hot as hell here.
And it's cold here.
I haven't wanted to turn on my air conditioning because it's so loud and cold. And
yeah.
I'm done with that for the season.
It's fall. It's almost November.
It should not be 80 degrees here. And it is. And it's hot.
Okay, so the shows. I feel like with our listener base.
Did I leave anything out for
Zoo Station?
Zoo Station.
I don't think so. I just think they did an amazing job. Oh, there was the Anton Corbin.
Oh, yeah.
Photos that were digital, which was really cool. I just think they did a really, I'm not going to lie, I was expecting it to be a little lame.
Was too. Like, it was much more.
I was expecting to be disappointed.
Yeah.
But it was just the right amount. It's basically a bunch of photo ops.
Right.
But it's like the kind of stuff that U2 fans would geek out on.
And obviously we all did.
Yeah, I thought it was just the right amount. Just the right amount of stuff. There's a cinema which we didn't go into.
No, we didn't. Oh, we spray painted a Trabant.
Yeah, like digitally.
Yeah. Not real.
I don't know if it was a real car, but it was something. I don't know what it was.
No. I don't think it was a real mock-up.
Right. And then it was all digital with the spray can, and that was fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really thought they did a great job.
A great job. Something for all ages.
Yeah. I feel like talking about the shows that our listeners don't need a play-by-play.
No, I agree with that. So when I got there, my reaction was just, I mean, I'd seen live streams, heard live streams, seen pictures. Right. I could not have imagined the size and the wonder of that is
right.
The center. I could not have imagined that for anything. Like, you have to go if you want. You know, people keep talking about on one of the Sphere pages on Facebook, people keep talking about they're sure that U2 will release a DVD or something. They can't. I mean, maybe they could if they filmed it all with a drone.
Yeah, it would. Yeah. You're
not going to get it because it's only going to be the size of your TV.
Right.
It's not.
So, I mean, like, they could do something and it could look gorgeous, but it won't capture.
Yeah. So the first night I had a seat with our friend Shanna, and which was great. And Jenny and Amanda were on the floor.
Yeah.
Which was also great because I was on the floor the next night. But when I first walked out, I'm going to tell you, I was in the 200s, and even in the 200s, that's steep.
I believe it.
And I felt like I had to, you know, I mentioned this several times, but I had to like stand back so that the back of my legs were touching my seat when I was standing. Yeah. If I took one step forward, I felt like I was going to fall over.
That's what I've heard. I believe it.
Yeah. I mean, that one step made.
You need to feel grounded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was alarmingly steep, and I have no problem with heights, or I've never had a problem with that. And this was, yeah, alarming. What did you, I mean, what was your reaction when you walked out?
My reaction was, it was what I expected to feel, which was basically, there's no way to understand this till you're in it.
Right.
It was as big as I thought it would feel. It was as beautiful. The screen, the imagery was as beautiful as I thought it would be, but it was not, it did not compare to anything I had seen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, this is what people are saying.
Yeah.
This is it. I mean, the fact that it looks like a different building, that people don't even know that's a screen. People think it's a real bird.
Is a really nice touch.
Really nice.
There's a bird that like flies and it looks like it's landing on like the rafters.
Yeah.
This dome, and there are no rafters. It's a screen. People are like, oh no, that poor bird got inside. It's like.
Then you would also believe that that's a hole at the top where it could fly out.
Right.
Because that's the sky.
And do people believe that? I guess so.
I mean, did they really think that that was the band in a helicopter?
No,
they figured it out.
I certainly hope so. But really, people were like, oh, that poor bird.
Well, I mean, and that's the point, right?
Right.
That's the point. Like, success.
Yeah.
I don't blame them for... I honestly know it was fake because I'd seen video of it and people going, I can't believe this is fake.
Right.
So, yeah, we had an interesting experience on the floor. We had gotten connected with someone we know that works for the band, and she brought us some passes for the VIP lounge, the UV lounge, and then like the VIP riser, which is not like you see all the famous people like halfway up. Like, that's where Tom Hanks and Harrison Ford hang out. But down here on this little, it's like, it's the same as the red riser, just on the other side.
Yeah.
A little bit higher. And we're like, this is cool. It's not cool without Hillary, but we'll take them. And we went back into the VIP lounge. We walked in.
Yeah.
We did not belong in there. We walked in. The end of the night, we are fans.
Right.
And we're like, we just want cookies and water. So we went and got some water and some cookies, and we like used the bathroom, which was pretty much empty.
Yes.
A live broadcasting of your cookies. I just brought a cookie.
Oh, that's
what
nice.
Did you? What kind is it?
Chocolate.
Is it safe?
Oh yeah, it is. Yes. The beginning, it was a little interesting.
With a hint of egg whites, no eggs, no butter.
Are we out of eggs?
Yes. I grabbed a hard-boiled egg and I started cracking it.
She thought it wasn't a hard-boiled egg.
Is that powdered sugar?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay, let's test it. Oh, it's not bad.
Right.
You should have seen what it was before the very beginning.
It's great, girl.
It did not look good.
Live on air.
I would have liked to have gone to the lounge with you guys, and then gone up to my seat. We didn't think that through very well.
Yeah, because they didn't check, as far as I know, they didn't check wristbands till you were actually walking onto the floor.
Right.
And I didn't think of it. In hindsight, we could have made that work.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was fun. We felt very out of place. It was not comfortable in any sense of the word. Everyone was dressed very respectfully. We did see Ryan the temp from the office. Amanda and I made faces that I am very embarrassed that probably happened, but he disappeared, I'm assuming, into a more VIP room. We never saw them again. And then we decided to stand on the riser, the VIP riser, and it like, the view's a little better because you're like standing like a foot taller than everyone else on the floor.
Yeah.
But it wasn't great. It wasn't. Yes, I was with Amanda and we had a great time.
It looked like I could see you guys.
We danced our hearts out, right? But it wasn't. And there was a woman next to me who was dancing a lot. I'm not sure she really knew everything.
Yeah.
But it was mostly people just like standing and watching. And I was like, this isn't. And I was like worried I would shake the platform. Like, my vibe was a little off.
Yeah.
So. The next night, all of us, you were with us and we had some more of our friends were with us. We're just like 10 feet in front of that spot.
Yeah.
On the regular GA floor. And it was the bomb. It was the best. Absolute best.
Yeah.
I would prefer that over the riser any moment.
I love that. It was one of my favorite. I mean, it was my favorite GA that we didn't try, that we didn't queue.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And the queuing for this is just so shaky. Like, it's not reliable.
Right.
And we didn't want to waste our time.
There's just not a lot of rail space. And we don't want second row.
No.
I literally want something to hang on to.
Yeah. Or to lean on, whether it's in front of us or behind us.
Right.
Yeah. It was... That was one of the most fun shows. So I was really impressed, especially the second night because I was on the floor, but I was really impressed with the DJ, Polly.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. Like,
same.
It seemed like, and I mean, I wasn't there, you know, I mean, those were my only two shows, but from audio, from video, looking at other shows, it seemed like he didn't really hold the audience very well. And the night that I was on the floor, at least, I felt like he did.
It was great. It was great.
People singing along. And
I also felt like we were in a really good section of people who just really wanted to enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
Which was good, too. But he was awesome and engaging with the crowd. He got a bracelet from me, of course. Turns out if you give him stuff, he'll give you buttons.
There must have been other fans giving out the bracelets because he had a couple on his wrist already.
Right. Yeah, because you saw that. Yeah.
So give him a bracelet. And he just seemed really like he was appreciative. I mean, it was.
Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, my gosh, thanks.
Yeah.
It was like hand to his heart. Thankful. Or like he did like a thank you. A little bow or something. Like. It was very sweet.
Very sweet.
And then he nodded to the guys hunched down in the back of the little car and told him to give me something. And they were little U2 buttons. A friend of ours got a button a different night, and it's the U2 UV logo, which I was a little jealous of.
Yeah.
Kind of would have liked that instead. I won't be picky.
Maybe next time.
We'll just bring him more bracelets.
Yeah. We need to make a bracelet with his name on it. Add that to the list.
I do need to make a list. The band is on fire.
Absolutely.
They're having the time of their lives.
And Bram.
And Bram.
And Bram.
And Bram. He was so impressive. And he just made drumming look so effortless. Yeah. And most of, you know, the drummers you see, like, they're not like that. They're like straining and, you know,
they're like animal from the Muppets,
right? Know? Exactly. Including Larry, which isn't, you know, I'm not bad mouthing him or anything. I missed him. I felt his presence not there.
Right. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But Bram, and I guess it's just that he's so much younger that he just has more, but I don't think Larry ever seemed as chill as Bram. He didn't seem that chill when he was when he was super young.
I'm going to make the only partially educated guess that Larry in general is not chill. my guess is that in his personal life, he's probably pretty chill. I'm just guessing. I don't know this shit. But when it comes to business, he's like, this is business.
Right.
We don't fuck around. We got to get this shit done and get it done right. I will not be chill. Wasn't chill when I started this band. Or maybe he was too chill, and that's a problem.
Right. That was really funny. Yeah, Bono's voice is stellar. I mean, there are a few, he had a few little, you know, blips that weren't great, but for the most part, his voice sounds, it's just like getting better.
I want to attribute that to just his comfort level.
Yeah.
Like, they are so comfortable. You know, we've seen him mess up lyrics before, and it's like, oh, shit, what do I do, you know?
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, fuck that up. Let's figure out what's next. Like,
right. And I mean,
just the look and the exchange between the band is just different.
It's totally different.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that has to do with that they're not traveling. They right. have, you know, they can, I mean, it's not, they might not own their beds or, but it's the same bed they're sleeping in.
Right.
You know, probably at least the weekends, I would think.
Right. It would be my assumption that Edge would go back to LA.
Yeah.
Whenever he can. But like, I'm sure they all have regular places they stay when they're in LA.
Right.
Or they have, you know, super comfy spots in Vegas. Like, yeah, they're, it's not that wear and tear of different time zones. Mm-mm. And the pressure of just one night in this one spot. And yeah, I think it's great.
So great. I say this all the time, but like, to me, it wouldn't be a real U2 show if they didn't screw something up.
Right.
And there was definitely stuff that was screwed up, but especially the second night, because they had sound problems.
AJ pulled Bono off the stage because of
danger or something.
Like danger, but Bono said something about front of house, and one of my friends was like, front of house is in PA, but there's literally in the program, there's names for people who work at the front of house PA. The soundboard at the front of house. So it makes sense. It was fucked.
Yeah.
Edges, the guitar was fucked. The vocals are fucked. Like, there were speakers, like, making noises. Like, it was actually scary for a moment.
Yeah.
I believing. Because someone else told us, like, they were up front. And, like, if it was a security thing, you would have felt it from the other people.
Yeah, but why would AJ interrupt him like that?
I don't know. Instead of just like pull him down or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Or I don't know.
Maybe he was trying to.
Yeah, and maybe. But I mean, I just didn't.
This is like feel the fifth time you yell at your kids and then they do what you want.
Right.
Maybe this was the yelling.
Maybe. I just feel like.
I don't know. I believe it was. I have just gone on that train that. Just believe it was the sound, but it was that bad.
It whatever happened, it was alarming.
Yeah.
And Bono said, you know, can we do one more song? Like, he made it sound like they were gonna have to stop the show.
Oh yeah. And my guess is if they didn't fix the PA, they would have had to.
Yeah.
But if there was danger, there wouldn't have been one more song. If there was danger, the rest of the band wouldn't have stayed on stage.
Yeah, that's true. I
know, I believe he's the one that would get threats.
Right.
But I don't know. Anyway, none of it quite adds up, but my brain is very happy with that being the answer. So.
Right. Yeah, you're right. None of it adds up.
Yeah.
You can always come up with another answer.
It's done. It's happened. We got our show. I'm not going to overthink it. Yeah. Like, it's not worth.
We would have, but I would have, I mean, how mad would you have been if they stopped the show? I mean, I would have. Died if they
I would have died.
Yeah. Okay, so so there was a surprise the first night, which was a big, huge surprise. We expected the same set pretty much. I mean, they'd only, you know, alternated two songs. They rotated them in and out, but not usually like we didn't expect for a new song.
That wasn't Octum Baby.
That was, yes. And anyway, so I heard Bono was talking about B.B. King. He had this long
fucking speech, long.
And he was talking about B.B. King, and we all were like, I mean, I know I was with Shanna. I assume that you guys had the same reaction. Like, are we hearing this right? Like, Edge is playing.
Yeah, and it was even before, I swear, like, the first 5 minutes, it took him 5 minutes to mention B.B. King, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like it took forever.
It did.
And I was like, Amanda, what? And she's like, me? Yeah, I think. Like, and then he started getting into, and we're like, oh, my God.
Jan and I did the same thing, except I kept saying over and over again, he better not be fucking with us.
Yes.
Over and over, I said it to poor Shanna. So we heard When Love Comes to Town for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what other song did you hear for the first time? What other songs?
I'm looking real quick at the stats for When Love Comes to Town. They played it at the Apollo.
Yeah, but Bono, it was our first time hearing it.
It was our first time, but I'm just curious.
Yeah.
They played it. Bono played it on Grafton Street for New Year's Eve. And there's a few. There are a few I&E shows they played it at. Or
really?
Oh yeah, they played it. It was all out west. California, Phoenix, San Jose, and Vancouver. There was some other miscellaneous. Besides that, it's all been hasn't been since 93, 92. But yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
For I&E shows. But what did you ask?
How many songs did you hear for the first time that you heard? I mean, in your library of songs. I had three.
So we all heard So Cruel for the first time.
Yes. Anatomic City.
Anatomic City. What have I not heard off of?
Trying to Throw Your Arms Around the World.
Trying to Throw Your Arms Around the World.
But I heard that, but that wasn't on my list. I only had three.
Well, yeah, because you saw Zoo TV.
Yeah. And I mean,
because I feel like when would I have heard Love is Blindness?
They played it. They played it for like a whole tour.
Yeah, like on a tour that I was on.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what that was. So for me, it was So Cruel, Atomic City, and Trying to Throw Your Arms Around the World. Is that it? No. According to U2 Tours, Love is Blindness was not on another tour since 93.
Really?
So I'd not heard it.
I don't think they played it at my show. Let me look this up. 93,
92. A lot of 92. What was the date of your show?
March 7th.
Of 92?
Yeah.
They did not play it on March 7th.
Yeah, I know. So that was the first time. If they haven't played it on a tour, maybe I was thinking.
They played it on the 5th and the 9th.
Yeah. I had a weird set list. It was an unusual set list. So maybe, yeah, I hadn't heard it then. I could have sworn. I'm thinking, the end of that album to me is like a whole, it seems like it's like one song or something.
Yeah.
In my head, yeah. A lot of times. So I'm thinking of Ultraviolet and
Acrobat.
But I could have sworn that they played it, but I guess not.
No. So yeah, I remember being really excited to hear it, but I like convinced myself I'd heard it before.
Yeah.
But maybe I just heard enough live versions of it.
Because it didn't feel like new to me. So Cruel, I was very aware that I had not heard it before. When Love Comes to Town, Atomic City, obviously.
And trying to Throw Your Arms Around the World.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me of how much of Octum Baby I've heard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at what they didn't play, though. Like, in my show, they didn't play a lot on there. They didn't play So Cruel, obviously. Love is Blindness. What else? There was something else on.
Oh, I don't know. I can just see that the date is not there. Oh, let me see if I can. You said March 7th. Let me see if I then click next show. March 7th, Hampton, VA. Okay. Zoo Station, Even Better Than the Real Thing, Mysterious Ways, The Fly, One, Until the End of the World, Wild Horses, Trying to Throw Your Arms Around the World. I guess I don't know how this compares to.
What the regular set list is.
I guess I could go back previous concert.
I'm looking to, huh?
Your show was just one song short.
No, I know, but from the album. Oh, no, there was something out of order, too.
Oh, but there was only a 3-song encore instead of a 4. 9, 10. So, yeah, usually they were doing 10 Octum Baby songs. They did 9 at your show.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know, you know, at the time, like, what they. Also, it was really early in the tour, so I couldn't have known. I think it was only the 3rd show of the whole tour.
Well, yeah, and there wasn't, like, the internet.
And there wasn't the internet. I didn't know anything was off with that show, but I know that I've read it and I listened to it back when I had it on cassette. The audience was great. Like, people really, really sang along. Like, it just felt kind of cool. And it seemed like the first night and the second night, maybe, they had problems with that. Like, people weren't.
Yeah.
But I think that there were tons of people there that just wanted to be there for opening night of the Sphere and really didn't, you know, care about the band, or, you know, they were industry people or whatever.
For sure.
But so I noticed that there were several times that Bono wanted the audience to interact with him, and it didn't seem like people knew really what to do. And, like, I don't know that I would have if I hadn't, you know, heard these songs on bootlegs for, you know, forever and ever.
Right.
You know, but if I was just a fan just taking his direction, I wouldn't have known what to sing, what to do. And
Right.
And Susanna said, you know, this audience isn't great, like, after one point. And I'm like, no, I think it's just poor management.
The man can get the audience to do whatever the fuck he wants.
Right, absolutely.
So if they're not, that's management issue.
Yeah.
He also, I feel like he was trying to get us to sing some stuff that was pretty soft and pretty high.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we're not singers. Bring us down an octave, dude.
Right.
Not so, going to work.
This is just, I found this interesting that you mentioned that, and I'm just going to take a second on this. I saw a documentary yesterday about our national anthem, Star Spangled Banner. And part of, like, it seems like nobody knows all the words to it. And, like, there are plenty of people that I know, like, who are super smart people and can remember the lyrics, but it seems like many, many people don't know all the words to our national anthem.
That's crazy.
It's because of it hits high and low notes so much that you can't sing along with it.
Right. Right. That makes sense.
Even singers have problems
mm-hmm.
with it. And, like, when you see the Super Bowl, most likely it's recorded. They're, like, lip syncing.
And people cheer like crazy at that high note because everyone knows it's hard.
You can't, like, it's really hard. And that's why, because you can't sing along. Like, when I was a kid, we didn't sing it at school. We said the Pledge of Allegiance and we sang, like, My Country, 'Tis of Thee.
Yeah, I don't remember.
We sang it at camp, but yeah. I still didn't. I don't think I sang along. But anyway, I thought that was really interesting. But it just, that was just a, you know.
Yeah. Well, people aren't going to sing stuff they can't, like.
No, that's exactly right. Okay. So, the baby outside of the Sphere. That baby, as creepy as you think it is, it's, like, 1,000 times creepier.
Like, watching the baby from a distance is weird. Up close, like, it's all, like, mouth and tongue and gums. Like, it's kind of gross.
It is gross.
I think it's gross. I don't want to see the baby's mouth.
No, and then they have, like, the baby talking, saying this is not a rehearsal. And
well, I mean, like, and I'm actually, I think it's creepy, but I've just gotten over it. I'm fine with that. But, like, the baby waking, I was like, I don't want to see the baby's tongue.
No.
It's weird because it is really realistic.
It really is. But I don't know. When you do any concert, like, half of what you want is to get a reaction out of people. And this definitely gets a reaction out of people.
And we've always blamed this stuff on Gavin Friday, right? All the weird shit. Bono and Edge are given credit for that baby in the program. Like, of course they are, because they're all weirdos.
Right.
Put the three of those in a room together, weird shit's going to happen.
Yeah.
I guess we should be glad that their inner weirdos are still going strong.
Right.
So then, I do want to get back to So Cruel, but Then whatever the other day we got something from U2 that you can now go to like U2spacebaby.u2.com. Twitter was like, is no one reading the comments? We don't want the fucking space baby. No. When everyone is saying what we want is the ambient music from Zoo Station.
Right.
Well, you know what that fucking spacebaby.u2.com is?
It's the
ambient music.
Yeah.
You can at some point get the baby, but it's like 10 tracks of Octum Baby. Like Brino Enode.
That what?
It's the songs have been Brian Enode.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like some of them I'm like, oh, this is Passengers Part 2.
Yeah.
This is exactly what that is.
Right. It's very ambient.
Original songs too. But I was cracking up because I was also complaining, saying I wanted this, not that. And I'm like, oh, but they're giving it to us. Sorry, boys. I want to go back to So Cruel because this has been on my bucket list since before I was even seeing shows. And I feel like it's been played once. I feel like I remember hearing it on a bootleg from like the Hershey sound checks rehearsals before Zoo TV. And I think it got played at one show. Never again. And it's like, it's my put on my headphones and just put it on repeat and just escape song. So I was really ready to like, just, it's the song where it's like, I'm going to fall on the floor and just leave me there till it's over. It's that song, right?
Yeah.
Hillary and I, we both have those songs. And I'd heard Gavin had said something about how you're going to be amazed and blown away by the new arrangement. People are saying it's the same. It's not a new arrangement. And I'm like, and I stayed away from it. It's like the one thing I didn't hear.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I didn't actually hear a lot of stuff, but I really stayed away from that. So I didn't know what to expect. And it was the first night was I was disappointed for myself because I wanted to have that lose my shit heartfelt reaction. And I didn't. It didn't like hit home. Like it didn't hit my chest like that. And I guess I just needed to experience this version of it because it was not a version we'd heard before. It was like the arrangement was the same, but Edge's harmonies were different. So different. Like, oh my God. All night, every time Edge sang with Bono was like the goddamn fucking sky of heaven were opening. I don't even know if I believe in heaven, but if I do, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Edge coming into those harmonies. And it was a whole lot angrier.
So
much more emotional than on the record.
Oh, definitely. I agree with that.
And I wasn't expecting that. So the second night I knew what to expect and I got to have my moment. I got to feel it.
Feel like I felt that it was any different until towards the end of the song.
That's where the emotions really came in.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
The Edge is different. There aren't harmonies like that.
No, and I love that song. And I've always said I love that song. But it sounds, on the album, it sounds unfinished to me. That's one of those albums where I don't know what I'm saying actually, but I say it sounds like studio.
Yeah. Right, right.
And there was something about it at the beginning that I felt like that still. Like I felt, again, I love it. I had an emotional reaction to it. Obviously, yeah. I'd never heard it.
Right.
But I still feel like, I don't know. I mean, you know, they say that none of the songs are ever really finished, but there's something in it that still feels like off to me. And I don't know what it is. I can't tell you if it's what it is.
Well, it is. We know because they tell us so. Their songs grow up on stage.
Right.
And it hasn't.
No, it hasn't.
Had a chance.
Right.
So it'll be interesting in February to see if it feels more cohesive.
Yeah. I did have a really surprising reaction the first night. I had two things that surprised me. One was
Yeah.
I've heard that more than any other song. I looked it up. It was Streets, and then it was Pride, and now the number one spot is One. I love that song. I mean, obviously, it means a lot to me. It's beautiful. I have nothing to complain about with the song, except that I've heard it so many times.
Right.
So,
which is
so
your
so
problem, not the band's.
It's right? It is my problem, absolutely.
Right. Thanks. Yeah.
But I really had like an emotional reaction to hearing it the first night. On the flip side of that, I have an emotional reaction every time I hear All I Want Is You. And I did not the first night.
Interesting.
And I don't know if it was, I mean, you do feel in the seats, you do feel a little separate. I mean,
there's a disconnection.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But I don't, I just thought it was weird, and I don't know, I should probably talk to my therapist about it or something, but why One struck me as being, as really was emotional for me, and All I Want Is You the first night was not. The second night it was, but we were all together, and that maybe made the difference too.
Right.
So this is another, this is something that I meant to write down, and I almost forgot about it, but before we went, anything that I'd seen or heard, I felt like, I don't know, but I felt like it wasn't entirely the same band that I've, I mean, and it wasn't Bram, it was Bono. I felt like, you know, all of them, but I felt like Bono was really distant from me. And like, usually I feel like, you know, the whole show is being played to me, you know, like, and I just had this like weird feeling in like the pit of my stomach that like somehow we lost them.
Right.
Collectively. Like we meaning like you and me, you know, like we lost them somehow. And I didn't, the first night I still kind of felt like that a little bit. The second night I totally was over it. I mean, I didn't feel like that at all.
Right.
The second night I felt like this is a, you know, this is the normal, this is how I feel during a regular show, and I haven't lost anything. And but then I listened to the show, part of the show last night, and I had this weird feeling again, like just like,
and I think it's the company you're with.
Yeah, it has to be.
And I don't mean, obviously you were with a very good friend of ours the first night, but you were, oh, the seats are different. It's why I don't like to sit in them.
Yeah.
And I'll do it for this show because it's the friggin' Sphere.
I highly recommend.
Yeah.
Seeing a show from, actually, I have to say, I recommend for, I don't do it, but I recommend for every tour to have
to see one from the seats.
From the seats. And I have, you know, I say that, and I haven't done it for actually most tours.
Yeah.
But I feel like you get a complete understanding of the show when you have.
You miss a lot on the floor.
Yeah.
You miss a lot.
But if you don't go in the stands, you don't know that you're missing anything.
Right.
So either have a seat or just be happy to be oblivious.
Right.
Yeah.
I heard someone saying that it was Maya who did a voice memo for our last episode. It was her first U2 show. Her boyfriend had brought her. She was excited about it, but U2's not her band, whatever. But now she's like, it was like church. And I was like, in my brain, I was like, usually yes.
Yeah.
But this to me felt like a party.
It did feel like a party.
It wasn't church.
Mm-mm. There wasn't, I mean, aside from,
there were some moments.
Individual songs themselves. It didn't feel like that solemn feeling that you usually feel. Yeah. And I didn't, that wasn't something that I missed.
No, it was literally that second show where we were all on the floor and we were like in the back of the GA and we had all the room in the world and we could dance and move around and all this stuff. I'm like, this is the most fun I have ever had at a U2 show.
Yeah.
Ever. Because it was different.
Yeah, totally different.
And maybe if we had been up front and closer to the band, maybe it would have felt like church.
Yeah. I feel like, at least for recent shows, the only time that it would have really sucked to have been far back in GA was Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
Anywhere else, because the stage was so big, the arena was too small.
Right.
But I would, that would have, to me, would have sucked to have been on the back of the GA for.
Yeah. Yeah. Joshua. So you're just little ants.
Right.
Okay. Well, obviously there's lots of things we loved about Vegas in the show.
There were some things that we kind of loathed.
Yeah. Totally loathed.
And were, you know, fearful of.
Yeah.
One of the things that all we did the entire trip was wait in a line.
Even getting on the plane, even being on the plane trying to leave Vegas.
Yeah, all the lines. I mean, crazy. The longest lines I've ever seen for taxis at the airport, for taxis at our hotel, for taxis.
For brunch, for drinks.
We waited in line forever for brunch. It was well worth it.
It was like, hurry up and wait.
All the,
hurry up and get this line.
The entire trip.
And then wait your turn.
Yep. And I mean, getting out of Sphere was like torture.
Torture.
Absolute torture.
Our first night was insane. It was, yep. We walked like 10,000 city blocks to try and find you.
Yeah.
Just patience. Pack your patience, because if people aren't patient, it could actually get pretty dangerous. Love the people around you and just know you're going to get there. We're just doing it safely.
If you're in a seat, I highly recommend waiting as long as they let you wait in the seats.
Yes.
You're going to either be waiting in the seat or you're going to be waiting in a mob of people.
I mean,
it's yeah. Like,
I think same for GA too. If you can't be one of the first ones out, be one of the last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, it's just, and it's chaos.
I don't, well, it does not. Oh, something else I loathed was all the F1 construction.
Oh my God.
Which made so much of the hurry up and waiting worse.
Yeah.
Because it made taxis hard. It made lines hard. It made getting in and out of the venue hard. I mean, there's just fences and construction everywhere.
Yeah.
And that'll be gone come December, right? Or later November.
I kind of like F1. I mean, it's European, it's fancy. I kind of like that. So I was a little excited to be there when they're getting ready for this. Oh my God, it was absolute hell.
Hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about this, but we should have. The view from our hotel was.
Yeah.
Was so,
we're gonna talk about it now.
Yeah, so just quickly, was so amazing. You could see the High Rollers wheel and Sphere behind it.
Yeah.
It was just perfect view. But the crazy thing is that during the show, like, they have the Vegas landscape, and then it's like deconstructed Vegas until you're just in the desert,
right?
With nothing else there. It's so awesome. And it was the absolute opposite of the view that we had from our room.
Yeah, if we were the Sphere looking at our room, at our window, as right. Opposed to our window looking at the Sphere.
Yeah, it was like the converse of.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was so cool. But to see that the first night, it was like really exciting.
Yeah. And I wish we had been recording in our Dear Diary when we first opened the blinds.
That was a miss.
That was a miss. Well, it never crossed my mind.
Yeah, no.
Never crossed my mind. But the sun was setting and you could see the mountains in the distance behind Sphere. And it was just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
It made me think that the mountains, like, wow, I didn't know the mountains were that close, but it's all flat land until you get to those mountains. So it could have been 100 miles, not 100, but many, many, many miles. Like,
you're not going to walk that.
That's a hazard in Vegas, is that everything's so flat that it looks like you're only a block away, and then, you know, you've walked a mile. And
I mean, it's the middle. I mean, talk about humans ruining the view, man. You know, like, that's a gorgeous mountainous desert.
Right.
And in the middle of it is like this PJ from Octoon Baby said that if Elvis ate America, he threw it up. And it was Las Vegas.
I agree. I mean, you know, when I loved it when I was in my 20s, like, like the best, my favorite place in the world. In my 40s, hell no.
It's also $100,000 million to do everything.
Right. Back in the 90s, it wasn't.
Right.
It was cheap. I mean. Yeah. If you wanted a nice meal, it was expensive, but it was before, you know, all the fancy chefs had restaurants everywhere. Yeah. And, I mean, you could get an $8 prime rib meal, like banquet supper.
Right.
And you never paid for, you never paid for drinks. It was just a totally different.
I mean, I guess if we gambled, we wouldn't pay for drinks.
I gambled for a while.
And they didn't come get you drinks.
No. People threw smoke on me a lot, but
fucking smoke.
Disgusting.
I forgot how bad that smells inside.
I really thought that there were like designated areas that were.
You would think.
Non-smoking. I don't. You wouldn't think, but I don't think there were, because it just all smelled like cigarette smoke.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy.
When I got to my room in Charlotte, my unexpected room, I'm like, I still smell smoke because it's like in my nose.
It's like in your nose, yeah.
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 Ugh. So gross.
Let's not talk about that anymore.
No, but that's some gross. We did handle the loathing part.
We did.
Do you want to talk about Ross?
Oh, anything strange or startling. This is the best. First, the pass is that first night, which were startling because we weren't expecting them, but I got Ross Stewart, who is the official tour photographer and videographer for you two. He took our picture for us.
He did. It's a really good picture,
and he sent it to me, and then I got to put it on the social medias and put photo by Ross Stewart, and everyone went, ah! And right now you can go to Zootopia on youtube.com, and it's the first featured photo in the fan gallery, so that's fun.
Yeah, very fun.
The limited experience I've had with him, he is one of the kindest human beings.
He seems like a really nice guy.
He doesn't need to talk to me.
No, and he has.
Yeah. So that was our strange and startling, and in a delightful way. A delightful way. Oh, this will be a good time to insert Amanda's voice memo.
Yes.
Garden Tart Amanda is sending us a little voice memo about her Vegas thoughts. So let's all listen together.
And now for Amanda, reporting from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hey friends, fans, and listeners. This is Garden Tired Amanda here with just a real quick snapshot of my feelings after seeing you two at Sphere for the first and hopefully not the last time. First of all, this was my first time ever in Las Vegas, and I can't think of a better reason to finally get me to go there than to see my favorite band with some of my favorite people in the world, that being my husband and Jenny and Hillary, who I've been friends with for over 20 years. And really, what a privilege in these really troubled and tragic times to just immerse myself in friendship and find joy in the music that we love so much. So I feel very lucky about that. Before the shows, I had been a bit worried with, you know, the screen and the technology and all of that, about feeling disconnected from the band and from the music. But I should not have worried. Our boys are never style over substance completely. Instead, I felt like, you know, and get on your boots when Bono says, let me in the sound. I felt like we were in the sound. So the technology of Sphere was literally mind-blowing and amazing, but, you know, it never felt like we were watching a movie. It was a concert with just an incredible bonus of these amazing visuals. And the boys just seem like they are having so much fun, just like loose and carefree and just really enjoying having a residency. And it was so much fun. I had the best time.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you. Thanks for submitting that. So I run a little cold anyway. I was freezing in there, even when we did GA.
Really?
Yeah, I was cold. I was cold. I mean, it was more pleasant when we did GA, but the first night when I had seats, I was like shivering. It was so cold. Yeah, you really, really need to bring something because it is chilly in there.
That was fine with GA.
Yeah. I guess it was maybe before the show started that I was really cold.
Yeah. Do you have any questions for Bono over Whiskey and Cake?
I did have one, but I forgot it.
Well, we have one from Carlene Page, who I bless her heart. She likes to send us stuff. I got to find it. It's in Twitter. She posted a video from Sphere during Even Better Than the Real Thing. And it's got, you know, the screen coming down, Bono spinning on the middle thing. And someone replied, I don't know how he keeps from getting dizzy between those particular visuals and spinning on the spindle at the same time. And she thought that would be a good question over Whiskey and Cake. Like, do you get dizzy? There was something on one of the interviews they did, Bono and Edge, before it opened. And I think it was with one of the news channels, I think. And they were like, don't you ever just look up and see what's happening? And I think it was Edge that was like, yeah, you got to. And there Bono was like, oh, no, I can't. Like, those weren't their exact words, but that was the mood.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's hard.
When you think about it, they have the ultimate obstructed view.
This is true.
Yeah.
At least they can see the top.
If you have, you know, like a severe fear of heights or you get vertigo, I suggest you get a ticket in the overhang because then you can see the stage perfectly, but it won't trigger. It didn't for our friend.
Right. They're still expensive because they're in the 200s, right?
They're in the
100s. They're still expensive, but they are a little less than the other 100s.
Right.
They've knocked like $35 off or something, which I'm like, wah, wah. But
that's not cool. But I recommend that because if you have those issues.
Right.
We didn't really talk about, I mean, as much as we talked about everything, we haven't really talked about the screen that much. But I think it, haven't we?
No, we haven't.
No. So first, I guess The Fly, and we don't have to go song by song, but as, you know, sensory overload that it was for Zoo TV, this is beyond imagination how sensory overload. It's just huge and it's everywhere and the words are everywhere. And
at some point it turns in on you.
Yeah.
The words turn in on you. And then the ceiling comes down on you.
It's so weird. They have the ability to make you feel like the ceiling's low and they're, you know, walls with corners.
The photo that U2.com posted today on their social media that Ross took it's from way back. Did you see it?
I saw it.
But that's amazing. Looks like a square room.
Yeah.
With a ceiling. It's kind of a fisheye picture, I think. It's really wide. But I understand it's just like tricking the mind. Like it's just visual tricks. But what the fuck? It's like some witchcraft.
It really is. And so even better than the real thing, that I don't think I know anyone who didn't have a reaction, a slightly uneasy feeling.
Yeah.
With that. It feels like
I could last about 5 seconds before I had to turn around.
Yeah. I looked to the side, and then I couldn't stay like that. Like, I just had to look. And then I'd look, and it would be worse, like, turning my head, looking back. And I did it both nights, where I'm like, don't do it, don't do it. But it feels like the stage is moving up. It is. And
from the floor, it's like, it feels like you're going to tip backwards.
Yeah. If you have motion sickness, this is not.
Or just look at the screen. You don't want to look at something still. I feel like if you just watch the screen, that's fine. But if you watch it in relation to something that's still, that's where you get fucked up.
Well, nobody talks about this. And I don't know how much, I didn't really like pay enough attention when I was on the floor. I don't know why I didn't, because I meant to. But like, the stage is also a screen.
Yes. Yeah, and you don't see that on the floor at all.
And I guess I didn't pay attention because I couldn't see it. But from the stands, from the seats, it's a whole nother thing you're looking at. Yeah, that
I've seen some cool-ass pictures, and I'm like, what the fuck? I missed that?
Yeah. They don't do it for it's mostly like later in the show when it all lights up, the sides and everything.
Yeah.
But I don't remember when it does that the first time. But it's not lights up, because it lights up all the time. But they don't use it as a screen until later. But it's crazy. Like, that was not something I expected. And you can't really see that so much.
On the floor.
You can
see
it in pictures, but you can, yeah.
On the floor, you can tell that the sides are cult-like or moving in color. Yeah. But yeah, you can't see the top at all.
No, and it's weird. And people just don't seem to be talking about that much.
I guess they just take it you either see it or you don't.
Yeah.
But the screen is bananas.
It absolutely is.
People were like, is it really as cool as you think? And I showed them a picture of like Atomic City with Las Vegas. I was like, does it look like we're in the middle of downtown Vegas? And they're like, yeah. And then I showed them something else. I'm like, does it look like this is like, I think it's the beginning of Love is Blindness, where it's kind of that nighttime. It's like that dark blue.
Yeah.
Color pre-bugs.
It turns to like the night sky.
But yeah, it looks like.
But there's an illumination to it.
Yeah, but it looks like that could be like the moon. Like it looks like. It looks like we're in an outdoor stadium. It's bananas.
It really is. And that's another something to think about in February. That when we take pictures, we should not take them even before the show. We need to take them while everything's lit up. Like the last part of the show, when there's light.
Like pictures of us?
Of us, like selfies. That's what I meant. Not even before the show, because that's still dark.
Yeah.
But it really feels like you're outside. Like, you look at the crowd and it's like, I'm in a stadium. And it's like, it's almost impossible not to think like that.
No, because it's even like, I know I'm inside. But it is not what my eyes are telling my brain.
No.
Not at all. My youngest, who's 13, had seen some stuff on TikTok and whatever. And I think that they knew it was a new venue in Vegas, but didn't pay attention of who or what or anything. Because then when I told Sadie I was going there, it's like, oh, that's you too at that new outdoor venue. And I'm like, no, it's indoors. No, it's outdoors, Mom. Like, no, it's indoors. Like, what?
It looks outdoors.
Yeah, except when it doesn't.
Right.
And that's when you want to die.
There are a lot of jokes to make over the bugs. The ceiling fills up with bugs.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of, like, the night we were on the floor and they had sound problems, I'm like, the feedback is really like a bug zapper. Yeah.
Totally like a bug. You did say that.
Yeah. But the bugs creep me out. Like, I get it. I get, you know, what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I don't like bugs. Like, a really lot don't like bugs. Well,
yeah. It's weird. When it started, I looked up the first night and, like, the first bug came out. And, I mean, unless you look up, you don't see it. But right. I grabbed Amanda's hand. Like, the friggin' boogeyman was coming to get us. Like,
while we were sitting here, I looked at my little screen.
Yeah.
And I saw a big black dot on the wall behind me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if it's a big bug, I'm going to die. Like, I'm going to throw my computer across the room and we're done. Don't do and like, I'm going to freak the crap out. But it was like a little piece of dust. It wasn't. It was a big piece of dust or something. Schmutz on my screen.
Schmutz. And
when I touched the screen, it, you know.
Yeah.
Went away. But I really thought that was a big bug. And
yeah.
I was.
That'd be really sad.
Don't do well.
Speaking of the bugs, that reminds me of the program that everyone's like, it's too big and too expensive and blah, blah, blah. And then I saw it and I was like, oh my God, I have to get it. It is. I haven't read it all yet. It is absolutely gorgeous. Of everything, I do believe it is worth $60. It is. You just need to make sure you have luggage. I mean, my carry-on luggage was fine for it. But in it, it has lyrics to each song. But then also, explanation is too much of a word. But kind of, it talks about the art with that song.
Yeah.
And maybe not specific, it didn't go, we use bugs because, but it talked about darkening the night sky, and it's really interesting.
Oh, yeah, and that program is gorgeous. The only reason I didn't get it is because I'm trying to be mindful of the storage space that I have.
Yeah.
And I just don't need another thing for my bookshelf or.
Well, and I have it, and if you want to read it, you know where it is.
Yeah.
And I usually
spend a while looking at yours.
I usually don't get. I've gotten. I feel like the last tour program I got was Opmart.
It definitely was mine.
If I bought, I don't usually notice them. But this one. But we were having a meal with one of our friends, and she had hers because she just gotten it, and I was just overcome by how pretty it is.
Yeah.
And the very last page is a drawing of a cow, and it says moo.
So cute.
Which I don't understand, but I like it.
It's art.
It's art. Oh my gosh, speaking of art, and I feel like we need to let our people go. We're hitting the hour 20 mark. I was looking through Gavin Friday's stories, and there was one with a Frida quote. Did you see this? I think I sent it to you.
Yeah.
That I was unfamiliar with. The quote is, I drank to drown my sorrows, but the damn things learned how to swim.
Yeah.
I need to stop giving that man so much credit for brilliant things.
Yeah.
I mean, so I posted it. I put every artist is a cannibal, every poet is a thief. But it always blows my mind when I find the inspiration for a lyric.
So I think I'm the reverse. I always expect for it to be something that he stole from somebody else, or he's.
And you're surprised when it's.
I'm surprised when I look it up and it's not a
true. His original thought.
Yeah, that speech, and I loved that speech during I&E. It was like the speech that he gave, like to the beat kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was sure, I was positive.
Was it the Bold, the Blue Sky one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You were like, this is someone else's.
Someone else wrote this. He's, you know, he's at least paraphrasing somebody. No, it was.
You Googled that extensively.
Very much so. Because I know he's talented.
No.
I'm not doubting that. But because there's so many times that, I mean, and it's genius to be able to work someone else's words into, turn them into yours. And that's genius.
Yeah, you know? I'm not mocking that at all.
No, not at all. But I expect that more than I expect for there to be, you know, something just out of nothing.
I guess on that second show we went to, for some reason that lyric stood out. And I was like, that is such a fucking brilliant lyric.
Yeah.
So fucking brilliant. And so the fact that it had just been in my head, and then voila.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gavin.
That song has so many like triggers for me. Just like remembering, I don't know, Pop Mart. And, you know, because usually if we're at the B stage or if we're, you know, along the rail somewhere, usually he's approaching at least that area.
Right.
By that part of the set. Always, actually. Right. And I just have this like, oh shit, like I have my stomach. My stomach does this little flip thing. And then I noticed that I was like singing the lyrics way more than I usually do.
Because he wasn't watching. He
wasn't watching.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But it was, I love that song. And it just has so many, it just invokes so many memories of life.
And it's our namesake.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It is.
Should we let these poor people go?
Yes, please.
I don't think we have anything else. Oh, if you live in Ohio or Virginia and you don't have a plan to vote, you need to fucking figure it out right now.
I think that if you're not registered to vote in Virginia, you can't. It's too late.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, but if you're not like planning on going on your lunch or figuring out when you're going to go or how you're going to get there.
Have a plan when you're going to vote if you're registered.
You need to freaking figure it out. I mean, all states that have an election, but Ohio and Virginia particularly.
Yeah. They're big ones. I mean, because they're abortion bill. I mean, that's what we're dealing with. If we have a...
And you have like you've got gun worries too.
Yeah. We've got all the worries.
Wrote a bunch of 20 letters to Ohio and 20 to Virginia voters. And the Virginia voters was focused on guns. And the Ohio letters were focused on abortion and healthcare.
Yeah.
I mean, people think that Florida is fucking crazy. Ohio is flying under the radar.
Yep.
We are as extreme, if not more extreme than Florida. So don't, just because we don't have Ohio man in the news.
Right.
It will become the most extreme, and it's not even anti-abortion, it is anti-healthcare law in the country, because it will also affect birth control and IVF and cervical screening. It will affect anyone who wants to have a family, doesn't have a family, or just wants to just take care of their parts of their body who happen to have a uterus and a vagina. You're fucked.
Yep.
So please vote Ohio. Please vote Virginia.
And I think that a lot of people, you know, only vote in the presidential election. Like, I think everything else is just like not a thing.
And that's the least important election.
It absolutely is.
The least important.
Because the president doesn't have that much. I mean, he's got, you know, the House or the Senate in his pocket. But
your local school board and your state representative can do more damage to your state than the president can.
Absolutely.
So vote for school board, vote for judges. Those are the people who are changing your community.
We don't vote for judges in Virginia.
No, you don't. We do.
Yeah.
But like school board, I used to be like, who votes for school board? You should run for school board because they're pulling books out of libraries.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. I mean, that's so important. We have a really kind of crazy school board right now. And even if you don't have kids, I mean, you drive by, you know, school buses. You want kids to be educated because it's less crime. It's less.
We have our town slogan is a community is known by the school it keeps.
Mm.
Good schools. Kids and families who are well taken care of and educated and nourished are safe communities.
Right.
Don't take care of your kids in your community. Then you can't complain about all the shit that goes wrong.
And I mean, even like, I think that we just voted for sheriff too. And that makes a huge difference. I mean, my city, my city is not that big, and we've had 41 homicides, maybe 42 by now. When I talked to you, when we last talked about it, it was 39.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like when we were in Vegas and we talked about it was 39 and now it's, I think, 42. That's a tremendous amount of homicides for, per capita. So yeah, it's super important. And if you're not registered to vote, go right now and register to vote. If it's too late for this election, probably. I know it is in Virginia. I know there are also places, there are certain states, I doubt Ohio is one, but there's certain states where you can register up to the day of.
Ohio's not, oh no, you need like ID and everything.
Right.
Yeah, in Ohio, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it's just really, it's scary out there right now.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Goodness gracious. No. Okay, well, on that note.
Vote. See if you can go to Vegas.
Vote. Go to Vegas. If you went to Vegas, send us a voice memo. Let us know your thoughts. Just a few minutes. Totally casual.
Yeah.
Like, we'd love to hear from you. If you're uncomfortable sending a voice memo, send a DM or an email and we'll read it.
Yep. Please.
Yeah.
And thank you to everyone who's participated.
We really appreciate it.
I love our listeners.
I know. We're going to get more people on the street. I don't want to say man on the street. People on the street stuff in Vegas this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. As opposed to people sending stuff in.
Right.
Okay. This is our longest ep in a while. It's kind of exciting.
Well, I mean, it deserves. And I feel like next week we're going to discover like that we missed so many things. We're going to be talking about this for a while.
Well, I'm going to clear our shared note.
Okay.
So we can make notes.
Okay.
Or at least a place to put it after. Thank you, good notes. Okay, y'all. Until next time, be safe. Safe travels. If you're traveling, good voting. And be well. Don't get COVID.
Don't get COVID.
Or the flu. We
didn't get COVID.
Go get your shots.
Yeah.
Flu and COVID. And RSV if you are below or above a certain age.
Yes.
Cool.
Take care of yourself. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
We'll be back next week with more U2ish content.
In the meantime, keep chatting with us on social media at the_GardenTarts.
Sign up for our newsletter at thegardentarts.com and share with your YouTube friends.
You can support us on Patreon, buy me a coffee, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Kissing Lips and Breaking Hearts, a U2ish podcast with The Garden Tarts, is created, produced, and edited by us, The Garden Tarts.
Intro and outro music by December.
See you next week.